The YouTube is running, and we will get started. Good evening, everyone. We're going to start this meeting with a pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The clerk will call the roll, please.
Ms. Grancy Smith.
Present.
Ms. Quintec.
Present.
Ms. Leon.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Cologne.
Present. Thank you. We have a few citations this evening. I don't believe any of our retirees are here, but they're going to go out to Daniel Burnside, Joseph Horwath, Robert Kiefer, Sean O'Hearn, and Brendan Schlegel. We will make sure we mail those out to them, thanking them for their service to the city. Moving on to the approval of the minutes for the February 21, 2023 council meeting. Any comment on the minutes? Let the minutes stand approved. Starting with public comment, as we historically do, just a YouTube reminder for anyone watching at home, if you start after 7 p.m. and want to watch the live meeting, you could scroll ahead so that you're catching the stream in real time. We'll start with our public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. So we have four people signed up in advance. So I will start with Ms. Mary Toulouse.
Toulouse. I live at 1528 West Market Street. I'm here tonight representing the Mount Airy Neighborhood Association. And last week we had a quarterly meeting. We had a wonderful conversation about the Community Recovery Grant Program. And we talked about different kinds of ideas about how we could best participate in this and make a difference. And it really was quite a shock to discover this last week that Manon is disqualified from participating in that program. We actually had more or less decided on planning to apply for infrastructure remediation of the lighting in the Rose Garden Park. Improved lighting, and I have earlier sat in the dark out here, so maybe it's not just the Rose Garden. But in any event, we had planned on applying for infrastructure remediation for the lighting in the Rose Garden Park. Improved lighting was one of the recommendations of the Chris Brown restoration plan that we all worked on, 4 or 5 years ago, which we partnered with the city and made a lot of significant changes. Good lighting is costly, even though there is a pressing need for it, and even a safety concern in the community. Some of the lights are broken, they're not very bright. Some members are concerned about crime, and if we want to be a little bit visionary, we do have a climate crisis and it's getting hot. People want to use their parks in the evening as it's getting darker, and they want to use them safely and not tripping over things. So unfortunately, one of the conditions of the grant, which would throw us out, is that funding requested cannot exceed 50% of the organization's total expenses for the project year. The Mount Airy Neighborhood Association is not one of the big nonprofits that has a huge treasury, $1 million worth of donations. Our yearly budget is relatively small and mainly covers donations to the Rose Garden itself and expenses for the farmers market. A whole lot of money. Our capital is human. In other words, our volunteers, and I see a lot of you who have volunteered with this in the past, our volunteers and members spend their volunteer hours working on projects. They're all members of different socioeconomic classes, and whatever they do, hauling mulch, staying, oh, there's garbage, I can pick it up on a regular basis. You know, they feel a part of what is being done, of these improvements. They can go to the park afterwards and think, you know, I did something to make this happen. So, just a couple of examples of some of the things that our volunteers have done for the last 8 years, for 20 weeks of the year, for 5 hours a day, our volunteers have supported a farmers market, bringing fresh local food to city residents. How can you monetize this? Every year, we give a free pass and sponsor at least one startup vendor. Local folks who are trying to set up a new business, we help them find the $1 million of liability insurance required to sell in a city park or on the property. We've researched and connected with one of our local churches who allow some of our new vendors to use as a commissariat, a licensed commissariat, the kitchen space which they need to be able to make their food. This is not an easy thing for somebody who's starting a business to figure out how to do all these things. During COVID, we provided a venue and customers for local farmers and even one of our city breweries who had lost all of the other markets. One of the farmers confided me last year that Bethlehem Rose Garden Farmers Market provided him with the only income that he had for that year. Otherwise, he would have gone belly up and sold his farm, becoming another person without a job, and maybe, yay, more farmland could be purchased and turned into warehouse space. How do you monetize this contribution? Over the last 8 years, we provided an event venue for school children and our local musicians, volunteers who do yoga, all different kinds of things, helping to build a sense of community. How do you monetize this? We organized the first Rose Fest after COVID, staffed by volunteers. Takes a little bit of time to organize and administer all this stuff.
Ms. Toulouse, I'm politely going to ask you to start to bring your remarks to a close.
I certainly will.
Thank you.
Bringing 1,000 people out of their homes after COVID and into the circle of the Rose Garden Park. How do you monetize this? This monetary proviso requirement does not belong as a grant condition in Bethlehem. It is usurious. It is a levy. It doesn't represent the whole picture of nonprofits and their respective roles in Bethlehem. I ask you to strike this out and don't say, oh yes, we'll overlook it just for your organization. There are other organizations like ours who may also have been excluded from even competing for these grants. So I look at you all, your volunteers, and I can only think this has to be a mistake that proviso is there. So I'm asking you to quickly correct the mistake, and we only have a month left to apply. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Elise. Our next speaker signed up, Mr. Alex Hirsch.
Hello. My name is Alex Hirsch. I live at 738 Center Street, part-time. I am up to 235 days in my epic journey toward being allowed to park anywhere near my home that I own. I happened to catch your comments at the committee meeting that ended just before this about anti-fragile systems. And first, I would encourage you, if you're still the council liaison to the Bethlehem Parking Authority, Dr. Van Wert, I'm speaking to, please share that concept with the director of the he seems very focused on the fragility of parking within the city and the complete chaos that could ensue from issuing even a single parking permit to somebody that doesn't strictly fit the word of the ordinance. Again, I mean, especially in light of that your comments were about loosening requirements for parking for new building and things like that. The idea of increasing parking density within the city, I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe we need to just break it, let it all break down, and then come up with new solutions from there. Selfishly, at least, maybe that I can park without getting tickets. So anyway, that's where I'm at. I'm at 235 days, still short of a year. I'm hoping that we can come up with some solution before July rolls around. But in the meantime, I'll keep coming and checking in with you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. Our next speaker signed up, Maureen Porter.
I was pretty hesitant to come in. I've lived here about 4 years. I live on the 400 block of East Broad Street. I work from home. I'm an insurance agent for United Healthcare. I haven't lived in Bethlehem before. I went to school at Lehigh for grad school, but other than that, I was not local to the area. I moved here after a divorce. So that divorce has some issues with it that are really not the business of this council, but what is the business of this council is I'm having a problem with police officers in the city. In the fall, I volunteered for Democrats in Bethlehem, and on my way to volunteer at the Union Hall would be paced by a police officer with escorts for law enforcement for Trump. This is wrong. All right. I have worked from home. I have emailed the police chief who's, you know, I tried to stay away from complaining about this, put curtains on my windows, put up blinds for the constant police presence around my home. It is nonstop. I emailed the chief in January of 22 just out of curiosity to see if something was going on in the 400 block of East Broad Street that would elicit such constant police sirens, which were disruptive to my workplace and indicated I might come down here just to ask what's going on in that region of the city. And it got very quiet for a few months after I sent that email. There was no police presence, then it started to build again. Then in the fall when I went to volunteer, I'm being followed by officers and law enforcement on the way to a political event with Trump signage on their vehicles. Now, I would have let this go. This has been more than a year now. However, the police event after that event and after the continuing sirens in the middle of the night, I'd get up to use the bathroom, the sirens are going. I'm in the kitchen, the lights go on, there's a siren. I'm out leaving somewhere, I come back, my garbage cans are moved, things are, you know, there's little balloons left on my porch, like gaslighting sorts of behaviors. I don't know if it's the police, I don't know what's going on with that. But I started to have physical responses to it because I was upset. Again, I let it go for more than a year. I sent a couple emails to the chief, but I do think that there is something worth saying about rogue policing and the insurance liability for police behavior. It costs taxpayers millions of dollars. And if your own police department cannot control members of its force from taking out and putting signage on to make their presence known, then there's a problem. And there is a reason I would be targeted. But am I the only person? I don't know. But what I do know is I felt that I needed to come down and make a public record of it. Because rogue policing is a tax liability for cities. It is a tax liability for citizens who pay for this behavior. I do not have a criminal record. I pay taxes. I work. My activity involves things like going to the library, volunteering for things occasionally. I shouldn't have to tolerate this. And if it's personal, I still shouldn't have to tolerate it. Your police should keep control of themselves. You don't bother private citizens minding their own business. So I wanted to bring it to your attention, and I wanted to let you know that I'd experienced this as an issue. And I wanted to reach out to you to let you know that I think that you have a liability issue here, because how do you know if they do it to me, and if it's just one or two bad apples connected to one or two private issues in my life, how do you know they are not doing it to other people? And that's a serious question. So I do, that's why I'm here tonight. And I wanted to say it publicly for the record, because I'm tired of it affecting my health, because now I'm going to have a fear or concern. I felt concerned walking here, and I shouldn't have. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker signed up this evening is Artie Caratola.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Artie Caratola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Professional name, Jay Creed, as most people know me. If you're familiar with Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, I have the Lehigh Valley stage from 2021 to 2021 I had the stage, 2022 I had the stage going on, which is basically musicians from all over, but I'm focusing on the Lehigh Valley. So I'm at places, I'm introducing these people of their stages from Australia, from all over, that are singing, that are doing songs about world peace and unity. And that's what Wake Up Rise Up is about. But I'm promoting the Lehigh Valley. So I was doing it mostly around Arts Quest, giving them free publicity. There's other things in the Lehigh Valley besides Arts Quest. And however, I didn't get much thanks from Cassie Hilger on it at all. I called her up to leave her a message 5:30 in the morning, and she winds up, I felt I'd leave her a message. Most people turn their phones off. I mean, like, what are you going to get 5:30 in the morning? What? Somebody's dying? Hey, they're dying. They're going to die. Okay. They're going to be dead 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Are they in trouble? What are you going to, I'm going to put my cape on and fly out to save the metropolis? No, that's not going to happen. The thing is, but anyway, she rant and raved and then hung up on me. So I haven't talked to her since. So, however, the main thing is, with the being having the Lehigh Valley stage, whether it's Arts Quest, the casino, or whether it's the Rose Garden or any festivals that you have going on in the city, let's focus in on the whole Lehigh Valley. That's what the Lehigh Valley stage is. Oh, incidentally, Wake Up, Rise Up, since I kind of missed it, to be honest, I don't have notes in front of me. I'm doing this completely shooting from the hip. 2021 and 2022. Now this stage of the Lehigh Valley, it goes on linked with the United Nations International Day of Peace on September 21st. And it goes out all throughout the world with stages from Spain, Italy, all over. People can see this on the 21st for 24 hours, all around the clock. Continuous entertainment. We had over 300 million streamers. You can check that out on Facebook. Now that's a lot. That's more than what the Super Bowl gets. So anyway, my idea is we get a great video done in the different venues, get them to pay something to the city to have this professional video done, and I will go and host the different things that where the bands are performing, whether it's a concert that is put on by the city or somewhere in the city, wherever they're at, all over the Lehigh Valley. It doesn't even have to be Bethlehem. It's going to be east. It could be Easton Allentown too. Anywhere in the Lehigh Valley, Northampton County areas, and get a great video done. But mainly promote Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, all throughout the world. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, can be the leading city in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia pretty well shot himself in the foot, literally. not the city of brotherly love anymore. You got to go with an armored car and wear a bulletproof vest to go through Philadelphia these days. And city council and the mayor, they don't even put surveillance cameras up around where shootings have been. We take care of things in Bethlehem. We have a unique city. We should be proud of the city. And we should go ahead and do something. We'll wake up, rise up, live for peace, promoting the Lehigh Valley, promoting Bethlehem and the whole Lehigh Valley, but mainly Bethlehem. We should be proud of the city that we have. Take pride in it and get a professional video done relating to the city on Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, and get it on other podcasts such as Androfied and even Rockin' the Valley. Even though I have issues with that guy, he has issues with me, I work with people who have issues. But as long as I'm able to make people happy and be able to make people see things that are of peace and world unity, I will work with that person. It doesn't matter what the problem may be or what religion they are. God bless you all.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. So that concludes our list of those who signed up in advance. So I will go around the room. Again, this is public comment for anything not being voted on this evening. So I'll start to the left. Is there anyone who wants to make comment to council? I'll turn to the center. Is there anyone in the center? To the left in the pink jacket.
I came here today. Brian invited me. Hi, Brian. Thank you. My name is Jenny Pakanowski. I served in the Iraq War as a combat medic, and I'm founder and director of Women Veterans Empowered and Thriving. It's a 501c3 here in Bethlehem. We have a exhibit running at the Banana Factory in downtown Bethlehem, and we have a closing reception on March 18th from 2 to 4. It includes refreshments, ritual storytelling, and outreach tables. The unique presentation is modeled after ancient warrior cultures. The Greeks, the Romans, the Native Americans, they welcome their warriors home by ritual storytelling. And the civilians who greeted them shared their experiences of being home. This created a reintegration of civilian and warrior, civilian and veteran. And we do not have that today to help our veterans reintegrate, specifically our underserved population of women veterans. At WVET, we have designed an empowerment workshop model to facilitate the skills to tell one story and also to thrive in daily life. As we know, the veteran suicide rate is between 18 and 22 a day, and we really want the veterans to stop killing themselves, stop surviving, but to thrive, and we created a model to do so. We have empowerment workshops for women vets, all veterans, including med and civilian support members of the community, which includes the families of veterans and practitioners assisting veterans. In addition, any veteran or support civilian that speaks at public events at these ritual of storytelling are paid. The energy, the courage, the time, and the expertise it takes to share one's experience is a job, and we support and value our veterans by compensating them for telling their stories. We have another event on April 29th at noon at the Steel Stacks Arts Quest. It's called hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen, which addresses the military sexual trauma in the military and the way they address it and deal with it by not prosecuting the predators that prey on our service members in the military and outside the military. I have postcards of both events here with me. Again, our closing reception is March 18th from 2 to 4 at the Banana Factory. And we must support our veterans, not simply by just thanking them for their service, but by showing up, listening to them, and welcoming them home. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out tonight. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment to council? Mr. Worth.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Al Worth. I live at 525 6th Avenue on the west side in Bethlehem. And I have two things I want to talk about. One briefly, which is I was surprised and disheartened to see Mary here talking about the Rose Garden Festival, because it's one of my most prized sort of institutions in the city of Bethlehem that isn't trying to hustle anybody, but is just simply trying to create community and stuff. And to have some kind of technicality keep them from getting the meager little bit of money that they're looking for is certainly not what we want or intend, and certainly doesn't benefit the citizens of Bethlehem. The Rose Garden is one of, is just a very special, the Rose Garden is a special place, and the, none of the institution that manages the farmers market there is just a true asset to the city. But I didn't come here to talk about that. I just thought, I can't believe this. But anyway, I think the city should be able to fix that if they just take a look at what they're doing. I will benefit, of course, but so will everybody else in the West Side community. The real issue I wanted to talk about is about the landfill, which I spoke to you about the last meeting. It, of course, isn't in Bethlehem, and it doesn't belong to Bethlehem, but we have a long and entangled history with it. But I just want to tell a story that I think, and I had hoped to hear that the city had actually begun to take a position to do something about the potential of expanding that for 30 more years with an antiquated technology and climate change impacts and water quality impacts and all the horrible things that come along with landfills. But but I didn't see anything on the agenda, so I guess that's not going to happen. But what I really wanted to tell is the story of me going to the hearing where they're talking about trying to prevent the sort of abrupt political swing that's actually been orchestrated by landfill to enable it to double its size and to continue taking trash for another 30 years. And I just want to say that I thought I should have standing as a party to this issue because I live in Bethlehem. I use the river and the towpath, or the heritage trail, the DL Heritage Trail, on a regular basis. And I always have to know when I need to turn around, when the landfill is either making too much noise or too much smell to come in the direction of when I'm doing my recreation stuff. I'm sure I'm like many other people in Bethlehem, that even though the landfill is strategically located downstream from town and upstream from Easton and everything else, all the other communities that line the two sides of the river and of the trail and of the area affected by the landfill have adjoined to try to at least inhibit this enormous transfer of the capacity of this landfill, which they thought was about full, into doubling it and making it last for another 30 years, long after I'll be gone, and some of the other people in this room will be too. So we're really not providing for our families' futures, our children's futures, or anything. This is an antiquated technology that needs to be put away, and Bethlehem had a role in its creation, but it shouldn't have a role in its continuation in this completely inappropriate space alongside the river. And so I want to have become a party to this issue, saying I am truly affected by it. And I mentioned also that all the leachate that comes out of the landfill comes to the sewage treatment plant, which we are all painfully aware of, I'm sure. And I mentioned all that stuff. And the judge, he's not a judge, I can't think of what they call him, but he's the person who manages this appeal process.
Arbitrator.
Arbitrator? That's not what they called him, but it's something like that.
Master?
Hearing officer? Well, anyway, he's one of those things, or maybe all of those, and it kind of doesn't matter, because he was deciding whether I got status or not. And I guess I don't love the river enough, or I don't live downstream enough, or I don't use it enough. He didn't ask me, or they didn't ask me how much I used it. And they don't care about what's going to happen to the Bethlehem Sushim plant, and that I pay for every time I pay my water bill, I'm pretty sure, among other things, and my taxes too, I'm sure. So what I'm saying is the city should take a position on this and should try to protect not just the poor folk who live close to this crazy, antiquated technology, but also the citizens of Bethlehem, who I know we're partly responsible, but we also, we are going to suffer from the impact that places on the river, the valley, and the communities around it. And other communities are doing that. I don't know why Bethlehem can't. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment? In the front?
I'm just going to put this here because I think it'll be demonstrative for what I have to say.
My name is Victoria Optoff Cordaro. I live at 1682 Woodfield Drive, Bethlehem, which is in Lower Saucon Township. Some of you may know that I am a facilitator for a group of citizens called the Citizens for Responsible Development, which is a grassroots group of people that have come together from all around the Lehigh Valley to support saving 275 acres of land in Lower Saucon Township that overlook the Lehigh River. My history, which I think is important to identify here, is that I lived close to that landfill. I grew up next to that landfill. And I lived on an area where we didn't see it, but we knew it was there. We drove by it. And when I was a child, that landfill was owned by the city of Bethlehem. In 1994, when I was 11 years old, the city of Bethlehem took some very courageous steps, and they entered into an easement with Lower Saucon Township to preserve that property that is now being subjected to a landfill expansion. That property at the time was owned by the city of Bethlehem. So there is this storied history with the city of Bethlehem, a history that we all have to deal with. Those easements specifically name the Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor as the reason why the property should be undisturbed, while the property should remain in its scenic nature, and for the benefit of the city residents and also all of those people that are on the Lehigh River. In 1998, that property was sold as part of a bundle to a private corporation to continue landfill operations. So at that time, in 1998, when I was a freshman in high school, and I believe Mr. Reynolds indicated he was in high school, that property was sold, and Bethlehem City didn't have any control over whether it became a landfill in the future or not. But they did have an easement, two easements, that protected that property. And now we sit here in 2022. Between 2010 and 2019, I lived in the city of Bethlehem. I was a proud member of the city of Bethlehem. I supported a lot of you in your campaigns. And I was so proud that we are the beacon of the future here. You are the beacon of the future here. I had an opportunity to check Mayor Reynolds' State of the City address that happened in April of 2022. He said, anything is possible in our city. Quality of life that you have just doesn't, you can't find it other places. We came to address challenges, not allow them to be talked about in the shadows. We didn't come here to fear those challenges. We came here to shape them. We are going to face them head on. So I know that I have had many discussions with officers or representatives of the mayor's office. I've had wonderful conversations with them, and I've had wonderful conversations with city council. I thank Councilman Cologne and Councilwoman Leon and Councilwoman Grace Cramsey for all of the wonderful conversations we've had about this subject. I'm here tonight to ask all of you to stand by what the vision is for the future. Mr. Reynolds discussed chapters and chapters about what he wanted the chapter to be when he's out of office. And so I think today, as I stand here, we know that Hellertown Borough, Freemansburg Borough, Bethlehem Township, the City of Easton, Delaware and Lehigh National Heritage Corridor, Delaware Shad Fishermen's Association, St. Luke's Hospital, Saucon Creek Watershed Association. And if you didn't know, on Thursday night, in a vote of 8-0, Northampton County joined to oppose the landfill expansion. So I hope that the chapter that this body takes is a chapter that you can be proud of, that you can say, we are going to face them head on. So I please ask you to show up. This chair is here for Mr. Reynolds or for any member of council to come on Thursday, the conditional use hearing, stand with Northampton County, who is coming, and ask for party status. You will not have another opportunity to do so. It is your opportunity to save what is the legacy of the Bethlehem landfill. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? In the back?
Hello, good evening everybody. Mark Osmek, Reddington Road, Hellertown, Pennsylvania. I was here last month, and my topic again is the landfill. Of course, we don't want it. A lot of people don't want it. And I am here again to suggest, implore you, whatever fancy word you want to come up with, that at minimum, one of you, if not the president or Mayor Reynolds himself, come and ask for party status and put your information in. You guys have a concern, which is the sewage treatment plant. I mean, you guys are responsible for that and the maintenance and all the things that are going to go through it. And the fact right now that there was an article written in the past about when there's 2 inches of rain, stay away from where the water comes out of the pipe in the Lehigh. That's bad. For them to say that, that's bad. They're guessing 2 inches. It could be 1 inch. It could be a half inch. You don't know. We don't know if it's going to be 3 inches. But anyway, it did start out at the Bethlehem landfill. I put a liner in there when I was 17 years old. And over the last course of 40 years or more, do the math, I watched it grow, and it was supposed to close several times. And I get the employment, I get to see people work, the benefits, all the stuff that comes out of a landfill. But with the damage that this could do, once it does it, you're gonna have expenses, I think, that far exceed the benefit of the landfill. Sleep on that tonight and think about that. And I know this isn't a question and answer session here, but I do have another question concerning this, which is 2525 Apple Butter Road, Hellertown. And that location is the old tank farm on top of the hill across from church. I don't know what it is now, they changed. But people had thought that they were taking the tanks down. They're not taking the tanks down. There's enough steel in there to build what I call a small little city. And from what I've been informed of, from a guy that just got there in the job, nobody else was there, I didn't talk to any bosses, but to my understanding, through rumor, is that it's going to be a compressor station. Compressor stations are loud, noisy, transfer gas. So I don't know if you know any of that. I don't know if that property was part of the deal when the 275 acres, or whatever section it is, was turned over to the landfill. I was told that they bought the gun club, Seal City Gun Club, for a price of $2 million. But yet when I go try to go through records or I look at stuff, I see something that says there's a deal for $10,000 way back when they put like a hold on the land, like they would be the first ones to bid on it. So a little bit lost in my accounting of everything. I would think it wrong for the citizens of Bethlehem if you could have said no to the landfill and took the land and sold it to somebody that would have made something productive out of it and got more money out of it. That would have been more beneficial to everybody around, and it would have helped put a hold on the landfill and what they're trying to do. Because even in the denial of everything that's going on and the battle that's going on, I think they just keep proceeding with their advancement, even though the final say isn't over, if you followed that. But that's what I got. Seriously consider going down, because I know Mayor Reynolds last time, or one of them said that, they disagreed with the actions. Well, actions speak louder than words. Please help support our cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rosenbeck. Is there anyone else in the center who hasn't had a chance to speak yet who wants to make comment? Mr. Shai?
Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. First, I would like to second the remarks on the landfill and also the remarks on the Rose Garden. And also talk tonight in defense of single family housing. What I mentioned to the Planning Commission without going into too much detail tonight, there's no doubt that there's migration into Bethlehem, and particularly from larger cities. It's been documented in a paper by two economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City using change of address data from one of the credit bureaus. That they didn't single out the Lehigh Valley, but it's a nationwide study. And the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission has said something like 100,000 people are coming to the Lehigh Valley in the next 20 years or so. What are we going to do about it? Well, where is it written that we have to make room for 100,000 more people? What should be written is that we have a community that we want to live in. And we want to have people living here who feel connected to the community, and who not only feel connected and who care about it, but become involved in city affairs. Now, invoking the method of John Maynard Keynes, which I would summarize as generalization of introspection, when I moved from a rental apartment to a row house, which I owned in D.C., I was surprised at the change in my outlook towards the neighborhood I lived in. I became a lot more aware of what was going on. I cared a lot more about what was going on, and I got involved. When I moved from a row house to a house that had a little bit of space around it, I found myself even more connected to the neighborhood. And that happened first in Silver Spring and now in Bethlehem. So I'm going to make a statement that some people are going to agree with, and some people may call me an elitist. But I think people who live in single-family detached houses are the anchor of a community, because they feel most connected to the community, they care most about it, and they get more involved. Now, I'm not saying we should build a wall around the city and say, nobody come. We have to have a balance. Some people don't want to live in single-family detached houses. They don't want to have to be concerned about the lawn. And some people actually like living cheek by jowl with people next door. Some people like Manhattan. Some people don't. It's about the kind of community we want to have. And so we have to, I think, retain a mix. So I'd like to bring up an emerging problem, perhaps. There's been two instances recently of a single family home, detached, being bought and demolished, and in its place, garden apartments were erected, once on Eaton Avenue, maybe twice, and once on Madison Avenue. The developers at work right now in the city of Bethlehem are a very active group. They're a very sophisticated group. And they see this happening and they may decide to imitate it. I think this could be an emerging problem. And so we need to do something about it sooner rather than later. As was said recently at one of these, the previous session a month ago on affordable housing, some of these people living in rental apartments aren't going to want to stay in rental apartments. They're going to want to move into a house. And some of them can't afford, or a lot of them can't afford the houses in Bethlehem today. So we got to keep the affordable houses that do exist. And that's primarily in the RG and RT zones where this is happening. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center? Mr. Antalis?
Stephen Antalis, 77 Ridge. Listening to these comments brings a thought to my mind. History. Historic preservation. If you had a sense of the history of Bethlehem, specifically the South Side, the ideals sought today existed then on the South Side. Because then the South Side was known as the community of smokestacks and steeples. And the people who lived around the churches worked where there were the steel stacks. And that's gone. The core of the South Side was single family homes, attached and detached. They're gone. Drive down Fifth Street, Carlton Avenue, other streets, and you'll see American flags stuck in the building. It's not patriotic, it's the people who put the flags there own those properties, and they do not exist in Bethlehem. So, historic preservation is dead. Single family homes are dead. And as Thomas Wolfe said, you can't go home again. You can't go home again because there's no true South Side existing.
Thank you, Mr. Antalis. So we are still in the public comment portion of the meeting. Anything not being voted on, is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment to council on anything not being voted on this evening? Turn to the right. Anyone to the right who wants to make comment? That concludes public comment on anything not being voted on tonight. Moving on to our second public comment. This is for any ordinance or resolution that is on tonight's agenda. We do not have anyone signed up. So again, I'll start to the left. Anyone who wants to speak on anything we're voting on tonight, I turn to the center. To the right. That concludes tonight's public comment. Old business? Any old business for members of council? Moving on to communications. Communication 6A.
Memorandum dated February 23rd, 2023, with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Dewey Engineering Incorporated of Bethlehem. The amendment is to add construction administrative services to final design of renovations to the main control building at the wastewater treatment plant, which was contracted for in July of 2022. The amendment also will add $115,800 to the project cost and will extend the completion date to June 30th, 2024. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda tonight. Communication 6B.
February 23rd, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Dewey Engineering Incorporated of Bethlehem. The contract is to provide design, bidding, and construction administrative services for electrical repairs at the wastewater treatment plant, including substation upgrades and low voltage meter replacements. Costs $49,300 and the completion deadline is February 29th, 2024. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
Memorandum dated February 23rd, 2023 with an attached resolution from Alicia Miller-Carner, Deputy Director of Economic Development, recommending participation in the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program to assist Collaboration 3 LLC in obtaining $2 million in grant money toward the Goodman Building Project. The city will serve as a pass-through entity and has no liability. Council previously approved the resolution for this grant award. However, additional funding is now available and a new resolution is required.
And Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6D.
February 22nd, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution and exhibit from Kristen Wenrick, Health Bureau Director, requesting the destruction of records from the Health Bureau. The Director has reviewed the Municipal Records Retention Act, and the records listed on the exhibit fall within the categories where destruction is permitted.
We'll place a resolution on the March 21, 2023 agenda. Communication 6E.
February 27, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources. Memorandum recommends a contract with Cowan Associates Incorporated of Quakertown to provide engineering and geotechnical services to investigate, recommend, and plan well rehabilitation activities for the Country Squire Estates Well Rehabilitation Project in East Allen Township. Cost is $34,470. Contract to run from the notice to proceed until December 31st, 2023. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6F.
February 28, 2023, memorandum with an attached resolution from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Barry Isaac Associates of Allentown. Contract is for $5,276. For the firm to conduct a boundary and topographic survey of Friendship Park and produce a CAD drawing in anticipation of future design activities to occur later this year. Completion is expected by April 30th, 2023. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
A March 2nd, 2023 memorandum with two attached resolutions from Laura Collins, Director of Community and Economic Development. Memorandum outlines actions related to Bethlehem's Home Investment Partnerships Program, American Rescue Plan Program, Allocation Plan to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. First resolution authorizes submission of the allocation plan to HUD. The second resolution authorizes a procedural amendment to the city's 2021 CDBG Home Annual Action Plan to recognize the program year of the Home ARP grant, which originated through enactment of federal legislation in 2021.
Resolutions 10G and 10H are on the agenda. Communication 6H.
March 2nd, 2023, memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spark Jr. with an attached proposed resolution authorizing execution of a lease agreement for use of Saucon softball baseball fields for baseball use by ECTB Holdings, LLC.
Resolution 10I is on the agenda this evening, and our last communication, 6I.
March 2nd, 2023, communication from City Solicitor John F. Spark Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Northwest Youth Athletic Little League, which will use the Buchanan and Spring Street fields for sanctioned baseball and softball games from March 5th through December 31st, 2023.
Resolution 10J is on the agenda. Reports, I have nothing to report this evening. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, couple. One is we have one administrative order. I hereby appoint Rochelle J. Waden, 2724 Briarwood Place, Bethlehem, PA 18017, the Fine Arts Commission, and this appointment is effective through March 2024.
Mr. Reynolds, is that for the Fine Arts Commission or the Human Relations Commission?
We received an updated version of it.
Oh, it is the Human Relations Commission. I'm sorry. I had the other.
Understood. Thank you.
So I'll read that again. Thank you for pointing that out. I apologize. I hereby appoint Rochelle J. Waden, 2724 Briarwood Place, Bethlehem, PA, 18017, to the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission, and this appointment is effective through March 2024.
Administrative order, Rochelle J. Waden, Human Relations Commission. Resolution to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. So I'll just say briefly, I continue to volunteer on the Human Relations Commission, and I know Ms. Waden had come to a couple meetings just as a member of the public and showed a lot of interest in the work the Human Relations Commission is doing and is trying to do. And I thank the mayor's office for bringing this appointment forward as we continue to look for volunteers to fill out some of the openings that we have on the Human Relations Commission. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye. Nicola?
I apologize. Ms. Ramsey-Smith? My apologies.
I just have a question. Again, I'm in favor of this. It looks like the person is certainly appropriate, and I appreciate them willing to serve. But I was just wondering, is this going to be in lieu of a current position, or is there a vacancy on the commission at this time?
This is, and I'll speak as a member of the commission. This is for someone who had resigned. In our email that we had received, it's not in the administrative order, but there is mention that this is to fill the resignation of someone who had communicated to the Human Relations Commission that they just no longer had the time to volunteer.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Just to let you know, tomorrow Ms. Del Grasso will be sending an email to you. We have several flag raisings coming up. It's about that season. So we have our Irish flag raising on March 17th at 11 a.m. We have our Greek Independence Day flag raising on Saturday, March 25th at noon. And then on Friday, March 31st, partnering with the Eastern Pennsylvania Trans Equity Project, we have our Transgender Day of Visibility at 9 a.m. And we will be raising the flag there. And then just two other updates before I turn to Mr. Spurk for a few comments is I do want to just thank City Council and thank Ms. Collins and Ms. Tullo for all of the work associated with the housing strategy study and the presentation, listening to the questions, listening to the presentation. One of the things that is clear is that people on all sides of this issue, I think, understand that there are no easy solutions, that there are trade-offs in everything, but it really was inspiring to hear a lot of the comments and questions coming from members of City Council, because the real work here obviously is not just saying this is a strategy that we like, but understanding that what that means is that there are trade-offs, and the real work to be allies in those strategies is to help to educate people and to push through on what those trade-offs are. And listening to the comments of the people in City Council, you know, as I said, I would use the word inspiring as far as the work that needs to be done. So I want to thank you for that. And the last thing is, earlier this week, we had kicked off our citywide, internally, our citywide equity plan. Ms. Santoro and myself, Ms. Sahaki, our HR director, and Mr. Evans put together an internal team. Ms. Santoro will be talking about this a little bit more at our State of the City in April, but bringing people together from all the different departments, representatives, to take a look at how we deliver our services, what are the lens by which we deliver those services, and how can we build systems in the future to make sure that we are allocating our resources fairly throughout the city. And it took a lot of work to get to that space, and I just want to thank Ms. Santoro for all of that hard work. She's been leading that, but it's been a group effort. And then the last thing, I guess, is I would turn to Mr. Spurk for a few comments.
Good evening. To pick up on some of the comments from last time when we spoke about this, from a strictly legal standpoint, City of Bethlehem is not in the same position as all the other municipalities you heard about earlier tonight as regards the landfill issue. And it's because of what Professor Wirth said before, the long and tangled history between the city and the landfill, which continues to entangle us still today, four administrations later. First, we heard, well, why would the city sell land to help them expand the township, the landfill. Why did we do that last year? And then you looked further back to 1998 and saw that that's when we sold an option that could be exercised at any time by the landfill, so there was no way to stop them from exercising that option. Well, okay, we couldn't do anything about the land, but why don't you just enforce your easement? And then you look back four administrations ago and you find out that in 1994, the city gave that easement and all those rights to control that land to the township. Looking back in city council minutes, the reason the city did that, I think around 1990, DEP forced us to close the landfill. In order to reopen it, the city would have had to open up a few new cells and get permission as a special exception from the township to cooperate in opening up those couple new cells to get back in operation. And Laura Salkin said, yeah, we'll go along with that, but you got to give us the easement to this buffer land. You've got to turn control over what happens in that future on that land to us, the township. So we did that. There's no more rights that we have under the easement. So now the question becomes, well, all right, you couldn't stop selling land. You can't enforce the easement that you don't have anymore. Why wouldn't you get party status? So legally, what is party status? It's not just like a rally or something that you sign up for. It entitles you to present witnesses, it entitles you to cross-examine witnesses, it entitles you to appeal in court if you need to. And as was pointed out earlier by one of the speakers, the people who have gotten party status are people who have skin in the game. They are the Heritage Corridor who runs the area that will now be able to see landfill, not just woods. It's the downstream municipalities. It's hospital worried about the birds that fly on that slope if they expand it to the north slope. A conditional use hearing under the law says the legislature, the council, has already determined that landfills are not adverse to the public interest. They did that when they voted that way. What you must show at a conditional use hearing is that a landfill here will cause harm greater than that normally that would come from landfills. So that's why things like downstream, and you can see it from the trail, that would become important. So what would be the city's issue there that would be unique to the city, that would be different from landfills in general? And I guess the answer proposed by an earlier speaker was, well, we have to take all the wastewater, all the leachate. That's sort of our skin in the game that makes the city a little different from just the general member of the public. But then again, you have to look to 1998 when the city entered into a leachate wastewater agreement with the landfill that promised that we would accept up to 300,000 gallons of leachate per day from the landfill for as long as the landfill is in operation. So if we were to go get party status and I would go there on one of the 55 hours of hearings that are scheduled in March, and I would sit in a chair, I'd call Mr. Buskell as a witness, And I pray this will burden the city, won't it, if they expand it? Well, we're going to get all this additional leach aid. I'll say yes. I'll say thank you. And landfill lawyer will get up to cross-examine them and say, don't you have to take it anyway under the 1998 agreement? And he'll say yes. Don't you have to take up to 300,000 gallons a day? Yes. Isn't that all pursuant to a city permit, which regulates things? The permit we have already regulates things like biochemical oxygen demand and chemical oxygen demand and total suspended solids and ammonia nitrate. Yes. So I just don't think that would help the cause much from the city's perspective, because we're sort of tied to those agreements made in 1998. If the approval comes, there'll be administrative proceedings in front of the DEP about all this kind of technical stuff, about what will come and how it will come, and I think the city would be wise to monitor and participate in that. But I think it's not the best use of city resources, legal resources, to get party status. I think Councilman Cramsey Smith had it correct last meeting when she talked about writing a letter. And certainly anybody's free to attend. The whole world is free to attend and make comment. But from a legal perspective, I don't think party status is appropriate.
Thank you, Mr. Spurgeon. Thank you, Mr. Colon. And I would just add to the one comment at the end is, you know, this is an issue that obviously, you know, when we talk about it through that legal lens, it is one that Ms. Shields has spent a lot of time on and Mr. Spurk has spent a lot of time on. And as far as our administration decision is concerned with this, I know we've had some conversation with council members about this as well, as it really comes down to, obviously, not what we want the landfill to do or not, and it's not the lens by which I make decisions. It's about what is the advice of the legal bureau, and what's the advice of Mr. Spurk and Ms. Shields, who I would say have probably spent more time on this particular issue now, researching, looking through it, than probably any other issue we've spent the 14 months I've been here, because obviously it is a serious one, and it is one that we have spent a lot of time looking at. But that is the opinion. That is the opinion of Mr. Spurk and Ms. Shields, and it is a legal opinion that we are going to follow. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. We'll continue on with tonight's agenda. Dr. Van Wert.
The Community Development Committee met tonight, Tuesday, March 7th at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall. The administration gave part two of the comprehensive housing strategy update. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Ordinances for final passage. Ask the clerk to read Bill 7, 2023.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill number 07-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? What's the clerk's call the roll?
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quintek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 8-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 General Fund Budget. Bill number 08-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Also clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 9-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 09-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Quiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 10-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for water utilities. Bill number 10-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 11, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill number 11, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 12, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 Community Development Block Grant Budget. Bill number 12, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Bill 13, 2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 Stormwater Fund Budget. Bill number 13, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. We do not have any new ordinances this evening, so we'll move on to resolutions. I'll ask the clerk to read Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, in accordance with the Municipal Records Manual, hereby authorizes the disposal of public records in the Office of Community and Economic Development as set forth in Exhibit A. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Dewey Engineering Incorporated to add bidding and construction administration services to a July 2022 contract involving final design and renovations to the main control building at the wastewater treatment plant. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Dewey Engineering Incorporated to provide design, bidding, and construction administration services for electrical repairs at the wastewater treatment plant, including substation upgrades and low voltage feeder replacements. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an application form necessary to apply for the $2 million grant which will be passed to the City of Bethlehem to Collaboration 3 LLC for the purposes of their project. And be it further resolved that the Mayor and Controller be authorized to enter into a cooperation agreement with Collaboration 3 LLC for the project administration of said project. Be it further resolved that the City of Bethlehem has been assured by Collaboration 3 LLC that it will assume the full local share of the project costs, which will be in excess of a $2 million grant, and also assume responsibility for the project's ongoing operating and maintenance costs. And be it further resolved that the City Clerk of the City of Bethlehem is directed to execute a certificate attesting to the adoption of the resolution and furnish a copy of the resolution to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion from members of council? Ms. Ramsey Smith?
I was just wondering if we could get an update on where things are at with this development. Just, you know, briefly as far as, you know, what stages we're in and what we're looking at.
Sure. So this project is, you know, actively under construction. As I'm sure you recall, there are two elements. There's the rehab of the existing building, and then there's the new construction. So currently they are working on the new construction piece and the footers and foundations specifically. I was talking with Mike Simonson today, and he says, you know, there's a flurry of activity, even though you can't see it. They just have not gone vertical yet, but they are doing the footers and foundations, the elevator pit, and site work there. Adams Street is closed. And so then they will continue that construction. We don't have a timeline. Moving forward, a lot depends on like materials and contractors and things like that, but they are actively working on that piece.
Thank you.
Sure.
Ms. Collins, I'll probably have a question then, but I'll give the floor to any other members of council. Ms. Leon?
I did want to say, I know that this is your responsibility, but like, since I live there, walking along that all the time, being able to see what's coming, that picture that's in the front of the fence, being able to see what's actually going to be there is really helpful, because there's always something going on the south side and we never know what's going to be there. So being able to walk past, know what's there, know that that building is going to be protected, it's very beneficial, and it really helps the community feel a little bit more at ease.
I agree.
Any other feedback from members of council?
Just quickly, I can confirm the activity also. I was just at Lit today to get a cup of coffee, and the construction is right there. And so that's exciting, and I'm really glad that the RAPP funds can go towards an adaptive reuse project and then, you know, infill on that empty lot, so.
Ms. Collins, this money's already been awarded, or we're requesting this money, just for my own clarification?
It has been awarded, and you should have seen this, you did see this already for $1.5 million that was already awarded. And then there was an additional $500,000 awarded in May-ish of last year. So this is just tacking on that $500,000 to the already awarded $1.5. But then the way the process works, it's awarded and then you submit the larger quote-unquote application and business plan, which is why the language application is in here, but the award has already been made, if that makes sense.
Understood. And just for clarification, this $2 million total, this comes from the state of Pennsylvania. This is not city money, but we're the pass-through.
We are a pass-through, correct.
And as serving as a pass-through, are we entitled to any of that for administrative fees?
No.
I didn't think
straight pass.
I didn't think so, yeah. But I just thought I would ask. And I'll just say, thank you, Ms. Collins. I'll just say briefly, as we talk about the Goodman Building, this is another one of those projects, much like when we talk about the trails and things like that, that's a very long timeline. That when you pay attention to these, there's a lot of events over that timeline. I know in relation to the Goodman Building, it's been your department. The Law Bureau had a very publicized encounter with the previous owner of this building, to put it lightly, and there's really been a lot going on there. So I know I'll speak for myself, look forward to seeing when this actually comes online and on our tax rolls, and I'm happy that, you know, the state is getting behind it and putting money towards supporting something that's right there in our downtown. Mayor Reynolds?
Yeah, I just want to add quickly, President Clune, you're correct. I mean, this is a project that's taken years, and the city, well before our administration, really took an active role in trying to make sure that the Goodman Building would be maintained and saved and redeveloped and reused and revitalized. And there's been a lot of public support that goes into that building, which obviously is an important one in that corridor. But yeah, it's taken a lot of time. It's taken years and years and years. And this is, I mean, just seeing the footers there, seeing the building, if you walk through in, you know, what is kind of like the shell of the existing building, it's really impressive that the collective effort of the public and private sector has been able to save that building. And, you know, we don't talk all the time about those success stories, but this is a success story that we've been able to work together with everybody. And like I said, we have just gotten to that in the last 14 months, but the previous administrations really worked hard to make sure that we could save it when it was a lot further away from redevelopment than it is right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Any other comments from council before we call the roll? I will ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Cowan Associates Incorporated to provide engineering and geotechnical services required to investigate, recommend, plan well rehabilitation activities for the Country Squires Estates Well Rehabilitation Project. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Barry Isaac and Associates to conduct a boundary and topographic survey of Friendship Park and deliver a CAD drawing of the park. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith? Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10G.
Whereas the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development granted the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, $1,404,987 in American Rescue Plan Program funding that may be used for the acquisition and development of non-congregate shelter, and City Administration prepared a home ARP allocation plan to fund such activity and wishes to submit the plan to HUD for their consideration and approval. And whereas the City held public hearings on the allocation plan on November 1st, 2022 and February 16th, 2023 and made the allocation plan available for public display and comment, including without limitation at www.bethlehem-pa.gov during the following public comment periods, October 27, 2022 through November 11, 2022 and February 16, 2023 through March 3rd, 2023. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem, 1, that the City's proposed allocation plan is hereby approved and authorized for submission to HUD, and 2, that the Mayor is hereby authorized to provide necessary assurances and certifications to submit the allocation plan to HUD. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Liam.
Any discussion on the resolution? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10H.
Whereas the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development granted the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, $1,404,987 in American Rescue Plan Program funding that may be used for the acquisition and development non-congregate shelter, and whereas on behalf of the City Administration, the Department of Community and Economic Development prepared a home ARP grant allocation plan that would allocate the grant funds to costs related to the future acquisition and development of a non-congregate shelter and wishes to submit such plan to HUD. And whereas, in order for administration to submit the allocation plan to HUD, it must also submit a procedural substantial amendment to the City's program year 2021 Community Development Block Grant and Home Investment Partnerships Program Annual Action Plan to assign the federal grant funds to a program year based on legislative origin year of funding. And whereas the administration prepared an amendment to its 2021 action plan to enable the submission of its allocation plan to HUD, and held a public hearing on the amendment on February 9, 2023, and made the amendment available for public display and comment without limitation on its website during the following comment period, December 30th, 2022 through January 29th, 2023. Now there be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Bethlehem that one, that the amendment amending the city's 2021 action plan for the period from January 1st, 2021 to December 31st, 2021, enabling submission of the home ARP allocation plan to HUD, is hereby approved and authorized for submission, and two, that the mayor is hereby authorized to provide the necessary assurances and certifications to submit the amendment to HUD. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the resolution? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a lease agreement with ECTLB Holdings Incorporated for use of sock and softball and baseball fields for baseball. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
Very quickly, briefly. Hi. Yes, I was just very pleased to see the formalization of the Southside Little League piece of this in this lease. It was something that had been discussed as an informal relationship at the Bethlehem Housing Authority through their recreation committee. And so seeing it in this lease and seeing that it's got that formal relationship, I think is great for the Southside Little League and the kids who benefit from that program. So that's all I just wanted to say.
Any other discussion from members of council? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Northwest Youth Athletic Little League for the use of Buchanan Spring Street Fields for sanctioned baseball and softball games. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Clark?
Aye. Passes 6-0. Resolution 10-K.
A certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 132 West 4th Street to add window graphics. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the COA? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Cranston Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. And lastly, Resolution 10-L.
A certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, is hereby granted for 113 East 3rd Street to add lettering and signage. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 6-0. So that concludes tonight's agenda. Just a couple items of new business before I open it up to other members of council. So first one announced that council has scheduled an executive session for Tuesday, March 21, 2023 at 5:30 p.m. for its annual update on pending litigation matters. And also the finance committee will meet on that same night, Tuesday, March 21, 2023 at 6 p.m. here in Town Hall to discuss the 2021 audit. Just a couple other points first. Want to recognize Ms. Collins, our Director of Community Economic Development, for being featured in, I believe it was the Pennsylvania Municipal League Reporter for an article that was written about our Greenway and recognizing that project. So that is a Commonwealth-wide circulated periodical that most people don't read, including myself, routinely, but...
It's quite the compliment.
It's for us municipal wonks. It's very for what it is.
Yeah. I think he just politely told you he did not read the article.
Yeah. I read it. It's right here in our podcast.
We have it. I mean, that's a big thing.
Having it
via, so congratulations, Ms. Collins, and thank you for taking the time to write that up. And then lastly, before I turn over to members of council, we heard a lot tonight about the landfill from speakers, some of whom came out at the last meeting, some of whom came out tonight, and thank you for your time and coming out and spending these Tuesday evenings with us when you could be anywhere else. And thank you to the administration, Mr. Spurk, for a little bit of that background as it relates to some of the history with the landfill, that this is not a simple process by any means in anywhere along the way, and especially as it relates to the City of Bethlehem's involvement. I mean, we're talking about agreements that were signed and made over two decades ago when the city was in a completely different position financially. I wasn't on council then. Legally, I wasn't old enough to be on council then. But at the time, the city did, I would say, with confidence, what the city thought was in the best interest of the city at that time. But here we are kind of bound to some of these other contracts. And while we look at what we're able to do, I will say that council will continue to have conversations and see what appropriate actions we can take to communicate what our feelings are as a council. So obviously there is nothing on the agenda this evening, and I won't put a timeline on anything because that wouldn't be fair to anyone's expectation, other than that we will continue to have conversations and figure out what we can do, again, to communicate what the thoughts of council are as we move forward. So that's all I had to say for new business. I'll open it up to other members of council. Ms. Leo.
Well, thank you, Mr. Boscolo, for always making time and answering questions for me. I did have some, if you don't mind. I did go to some of these meetings, and there was some conversation surrounding things, and I just was curious about our water system and how it kind of operates. So putting a pin in the legality of all of this, what's leachate?
Put me on the spot. It's the it's the water runoff from the landfill.
So, how do we when it runs through the landfill? Like, when does that water get tested? Does it get tested like before it runs through, or after it comes out of the landfill? Like, when it gets with the rest of the stuff?
We have a industrial waste discharge permit with the landfill. It gets tested at a manhole up at the landfill right as it discharges into our system.
Sorry, I wrote these down because I know I was going to forget them. One of the things that was brought up in one of the zoning meetings was understanding, I don't know what a draft analytic method is. What draft analytic method do we use? There was a recommendation regarding one, and I was just wondering if off the top of my head, off the top of your head, is there a specific draft analytic method that we use for testing?
I guess you're referring to just any number of potential chemical analyses that we do on wastewater in general. We follow analytical methods that typically are approved by either EPA or DEP, so that they're common in the industry, and so that those results can be verified and relied upon, because if we're doing a test that produces a certain data, Allentown does one, Easton, whoever, the DEB can rely on that data. So that's why they call them common standard analytical methods, if you will. And then depending on what the contaminant you're testing for, it could be any number of things. I think Mr. Spurk alluded to a couple. One is BOD, which is biochemical oxygen demand, which is really a measure of how much organic waste is in the liquid. It's a typical measurement for analytical method for measuring the strength of wastewater. If you think about it, what wastewater is, right? A lot of organic waste. Ammonia is another common method. And there's all sorts of things that we test for. And it's all laid out in both our permit for the plant, and also each individual industry that we have, that has a discharge permit. So the landfill is one of those industries. So it has a whole laundry list of things that we test for and then report to the state.
I think, I guess that's in relation to what I haven't mentioned before, outside is my biggest concern is like forever chemicals and PFAS, and how do we test for that, or like what standard do you use to test for that, or is, how do we deal with that if that represents anything?
Well, as of right now, there are no standard methods for testing PFAS in wastewater. That is still under development by the regulatory agencies. DEP just came out with a program for testing drinking water for PFAS. Those methods and regulatory limits take effect in 2024. So it generally takes years for DEP to research and develop new regulations, and because they have to come up with some common testing methods, it gets back to these standard methods that get approved so that everybody does the same thing. So they had been studying what the methods on the water side for many years, and those regs will go into effect next year. Now, you recognize that the city's water, drinking water, comes from reservoirs up in the Poconos, so there's really no impact with the landfill at all, or for that matter, any other industrial contaminants, just because it's up in the Poconos and there really is no potential for contamination up there. Actually, we've already tested our drinking water for PFAS, and it's all below detected levels.
I think that was it. I have one more question. It might be more legal than anything else, and maybe it isn't, but is there a time in which, like, say that there was runoff and something astronomical happened, is there a time where maybe some kind of contamination would allow us to override, like, a contract? And if you don't want to answer specifically this situation, what I mean is, like, if there was runoff from the landfill that would make unsafe situations, can we override contracts?
Yes, the waste discharge permit that they have follows a standard boilerplate, which both allows us to test for the contaminants in that runoff. We can assign fees or surcharges, which would, based on the strength of that runoff. So all of these companies, we have about 35 companies in our system, the landfill being one of them, that gets charged extra. So, for example, your average residential user, you get a sewer bill, right, just for standard residential sewage, the cost to the city to treat that sewage. Other companies that produce higher levels of strength get charged more. That's basically how that process works. So the landfill gets charged more because it's a higher strength waste. So we have the ability to charge more for the waste that they send us. We also have the ability to fine them penalties if they violate any of the terms of the permit. So we do that from time to time. Now I will say that the landfill has a history of not violating the permit. I mean, leachate is not nasty stuff, but it's not like it's coming from a chemical factory or a producer of higher strength chemicals that we receive. It's basically runoff from garbage. So there is no history of the landfill violating the terms of their permit, at least in the past 5 to 10 years.
Thank you, Mr. Boscolo. Dr. Van Wert?
I had a couple of follow-up questions on that one. Sorry. I do want to understand kind of Bethlehem's exposure. My first question is just fairly simple fact-based. Do you or anyone in the administration understand what percentage of our garbage ends up in that landfill?
I think that data is available. I don't know what the, I don't know what that is.
If it is available, could it be given to us? And if it's not available, like you look for it, it's just not there, could we embed that in our haulers' contract so that we know on a percentage or tonnage basis?
Yeah. Landfills being regulated by the state, you can go online and look up Desmond Landfill. There's a whole database for every landfill in the state. It tells you where the trash comes from.
Okay.
But I do know that, so we probably have access to some of that, that okay. data.
That I would like to know.
I personally don't.
Just to add to that is, I mean, we would have our own data as far as what the city of Bethlehem does internally, but obviously, as I think everybody knows, we have private haulers in the city of Bethlehem. And what that data is that they have, and also I don't believe, and I might be wrong about this, I don't think we can mandate what landfill they go to with their own private garbage.
Right.
But it's not a bad idea to have, Dr. Anwar. You know, it's not a bad idea of a road to go down to have those conversations.
Yeah.
But just, you know, it is a limitation with the current system as far as not knowing where it goes or how much of it goes where.
Yeah.
As far as some of these future questions are concerned.
Okay. And I think my concern over our exposure also does relate to the PFAS, because while I have a fairly rudimentary understanding of it, I think the EPA is coming out with new regulations for testing the water that we are putting into the Lehigh, because from my understanding, the Lehigh and the Delaware are used as drinking water sources for other communities downstream. And therefore, if these new rules mandate that we at the Water Treatment Center test for the PFAS, and then we must remediate it as well. All of these things are kind of like great big questions, I think, that are still out there and haven't been answered. And I worry that we have a level of exposure, either financially or because of these chemicals, that will change the dynamic of the relationships. And I think getting this data under control now while we're there's a lot of options up in the air, I think it might be a good idea, but I wondered if you could comment on that. Like, am I correct in assuming that there are downstream communities that will be relying on the water that has the scrubbed leachate in it?
The next downstream water user from the city is, I forget the name, but it's down in Bucks County, so it's along the Delaware River. I think it's about 30 miles.
Right.
Following the river, down Lehigh, and then down the Delaware River.
Okay.
Then obviously you got Philadelphia
right
down below there. It's obviously a big problem. If PFAS chemicals are ubiquitous in everything, right?
Right.
They're used throughout manufacturing all sorts of household products. I think that's one reason why regulators are having a hard time getting a handle on where, how to control it. So they started first with drinking water because it's somewhat, I don't want to say easier, but it's one of the easier things to do. So as a drinking water provider, we can easily test our source water. So for example, that next drinking water provider down the Delaware River near Philadelphia, what obviously now is going to have to test for PFAS that they're taking out of the river,
right,
which in theory could be coming from upstream sources,
right?
So that's one way you capture it. Measuring it at the waste stream level is a whole other level of complexity, if you will, because it's not just us. It could be from businesses, homes, you know, everywhere. So that's going to be another layer of regulatory.
And my last question is, how much does the landfill pay the water treatment plant for treatment of the leachate? And is that, I understand, thank you, Mr. Spark, for the volume cap and all that stuff, but if the EPA mandates better scrubbing of the leachate before it's dumped into the river, does that change? Do we have the ability to you know, really jack up the prices if what we have to do costs a lot more money?
Well, right now the landfill pays us about $200,000 a year. But that's their sewage bill, roughly speaking,
okay,
on average. Like I said, they have a current permit in place. They've been meeting the permit. You know, if down the road there are more stricter demands placed on us by the regulators that we put on the landfill, that we'll have to cross that bridge when we get to it in terms of what we would be able to do as receiver of that waste, or what they would really have to do to clean the waste so that we're able to send it. So it's kind of it could be two-way thing there.
So what we're really doing, well, we are not, but what Hellertown is really doing is extending the obligation that our water treatment plant has to clean the leachate for another 30 years. Is that the correct way of looking at it?
I'm sorry, say that again.
That it's extending our obligation to clean the leachate for another 30 years. Is that correct?
Lower Saucon, right?
Yeah, sorry, Lower Saucon. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, as long as the landfill is open,
okay.
So whether it's of the current size or the future size, as long as the landfill is open.
Okay. So. Thank you. I'm sorry, my questions are a bit in the weeds. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Again, Mr. Buskola. Ms. Ramsey-Smith. Ms. Ramsey-Smith, you're muted.
Sorry, thank you. I was trying to take out the background noise. I have a quick question for Mr. Boscol. I'm not sure if you're able to answer or not, but I'm just wondering, because we're hearing a lot about this leachate, and if for some reason the landfill does expand, could it be that the leachate from the landfill could be overwhelming for our system, our current treatment system, and we would not be able to handle that? Is that something that we may see?
Current flow from the landfill is roughly 70,000 gallons per day. The permit that Mr. Spurk alluded to grants them access or capacity up to 300,000 gallons per day. So there's a lot of room there for growth. Also, that 70,000 gallons per day is less than 1% of the flow to the plant. So even if it doubles, it's a manageable volume. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That helps. And I just want to say, for those that came and spoke tonight that oppose the landfill, please know that we do hear you, and our city solicitor is looking into what city council can do, if anything, regarding this expansion. And thank you for coming out tonight. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from members of council?
Well, I don't have any additional questions about the landfill, but I do want to thank my colleagues for their comments and second what Ms. Ramsey-Smith just said. Separate from the landfill, I don't know if Ms. Toulouse is still here, but I would love to chat with you after the meeting, and do want to say, just make sure that you and everybody knows that this is not the last opportunity to apply for funding through the Community Recovery Fund. This is the first opportunity of several, and it is possible that different requirements will be applied to different opportunities, but I still would love to chat with you after the meeting about what you discussed with the Rose Garden. I also wanted to thank Ms. Pekanowski with the Women's Veterans Empowered and Thriving for your work and for informing us of these opportunities to come and support the work that you do. Thank you, and thank you for being here and staying for the entire meeting. And lastly, with regard to single-family homeowners and homeowners being more connected to their community, I can't help but remind you that you have a renter on City Council, and that is me, and I that is one way to be deeply connected and committed to your community, so I just wanted to provide that alternative view. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. And I was also a renter for my first 5 years on council to my wife, let me move in her house. Any other comments from members of council this evening? Ms. Kwiatek?
I just want to echo, I was going to say what you said, even though I'm not a renter, you know, that certainly is one of my pet peeves about people's perception of the many different ways that people form homes and identify as a member of this community. And to me, the most important thing is that people you know, do become a part of the community in many different ways, whether they work here, live here, whether they have kids in the school system or not, whether they, you know, own a piece of property or they, you know, love apartment living downtown. So if we're really going to be that welcoming city that we say we're going to be, that means everybody. And I also want to remind people that Bethlehem's population has not changed in number significantly in 50 years. We're the same size that we were then, and yet we're still finding that people are struggling to make ends meet, struggling to be able to afford to live someplace, and these are things that we need to address. And I again want to thank Ms. Collins, Ms. Tullo, and everybody that's been working so hard on the strategies for our housing affordability in the city and beyond. And it's been a long night, and so I really do appreciate everybody who came out to speak about the landfill. I know it's a deeply unsatisfying answer, but it is the answer that Solicitor Spurk can provide us about, and it is deeply rooted in the history of how this all came to be. And again, to reiterate what my fellow council members said, we as a council are discussing what we can do, what is within our purview, what is within our power. So, and thank you to everybody who came out to speak on the various issues that you came out to speak on tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. If there's nothing else from members of the council, this meeting is adjourned. Get home safe, everyone. Thank you.